I know that many in the media have been speculating about bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70.
So Carolyn Leavitt saying yesterday from the press briefing room, talking about an update on the president's health. So President Trump is 79 years old. He has some, I guess it's circulatory issues with his veins. He's got swelling in the bottom of his legs, and he had bruising on his hands, they said, from shaking so many hands. It's rich to see people reacting to, with some concern in some cases, the president's health, questioning his age. I don't think this is turning into a big story. I am excited about how many things like this can come out, be reported on. The president and the press team doing absolutely the right thing, which is saying, okay, some people noticed. I don't know how many times I've seen this picture from underneath a table of Trump's feet and his ankles. You haven't seen this yet?
Really? No.
Yeah. I mean, his ankles do look swollen. He's got on some black dress shoes, and you know, his pants legs show maybe 3-4 inches between his shoe and the bottom of his pants, and his ankles are a bit swollen. Certainly you can see pictures where he's shaking hands and there's makeup covering up bruising that is there. This is the way this is supposed to be handled. It is important that people remember that while the press team is coming out and saying, yeah, there are some issues here that are very common in people over 70, and we want to put that information out there. Now we can all take it and go, okay. I was watching Trace Gallagher's Fox News at Night last night, and he had a doctor on there, and he kept posing questions to try to like get more to the story, and the doctor just was like, he just needs to wear compression socks, stockings, he said. And then Trace would be like, okay, but this, that, and the other thing, how frequently does he need to be seen? He's like, well, if he wears his compression socks, it should be fine. And I'm like, this, they're trying, like, no discredit at all to Fox News at Night. It's honestly one of my favorite shows that is on Fox News. I really appreciate, you've got, let's see, Laura Ingraham, Jesse Waters, Sean Hannity, and Gutfeld. You've got 4 hours in prime time of obvious opinion and discussion. I can watch 2 of those hours every night if I have the time for it. But Fox News at Night, that comes on after Gutfeld, is the first really hard hit dose you get of the news as of, in my opinion, the day's close. Like, this is as far as we've taken these stories today. You can wake up the next day and see, you know, what's developed overnight or what's new in the morning. But he's got this doctor on there, and the doctor's like, just wear stockings. That's what people do. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, the hand story's actually been around for a number of months. I remember reporting on this shortly after he took office again in January, that everybody wants to shake the president's hand. It's probably not unique to Trump. It's the president's job. But he is more willing to meet with a lot of people than the last president was. And so he does. He shakes a lot of hands. This doctor's report is new, but the messaging has been very consistent that anytime, you know, people are shaking your hand that many times, he starts to get bruising.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, everybody's grabbing you at the same
spot.
Well,
not to mention the fact he might be the most aggressive handshaker that's on the face of the planet.
That's true. He does shake a hard hand.
If you're not grounded, you might fall over. You got to be ready for a Trump handshake.
This is probably a better question for X's and Y's when we do the difference in the genders. But did your parents ever teach you to shake a hand?
Mm-mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too. My dad did.
We've had those conversations with Charlie. I think one time
does he have a firm handshake?
He understands the value of a handshake, and I think that is important for a young man to be able to move into a situation and offer a handshake, like when you're, hi, I'm Charlie or whatever. I mean, if it whenever it came up, it likely would have been because he probably shook one of her hands and were like, bro.
Dude.
Dude, we're not raising you to shake hands like that, son. But he's been informed of that. And, you know, I would say the same thing to Jensen, but she's going to turn 13 next week. She's going to be a teenager, guys. Jensen is about to be the little girl who read Luke 2 at the very first Annie Fry Show Christmas special.
In those days.
You should hear her read it now. Breezes right through it.
Yeah. She actually still reads it at church every Christmas. She's going to be 13 next week. So those conversations will have to happen as well. But is it? I don't even feel like it's possible. And I don't like whataboutisms. I think that causes people to not be objectively analytical in the way you approach any situation. I think first you have to approach something like this objectively and try to say, okay, this story that President Trump has swollen ankles because he has a condition that is very common in people his age, and, you know, the bruising, he's taking aspirin. Like, it was part of the news briefing yesterday that President Trump at 79 is on an aspirin regimen. Okay. But they're telling us, if you assess this as a story just in the context of President Trump, some photos that were taken of his ankles, some photos that were taken of his hands, just in that lane, is this a story? Should it be discussed and moved on from? Should it be monitored by the media? How do you feel about it?
I don't know that this is a story. There's not really...
Like, ever at all? Like, didn't even need to do what they've done?
Yeah. I mean, unless... Because here's why I don't think it's a story. I haven't really heard even influencers asking many questions about this. And maybe that's just me. You know, everybody's algorithm's a little different. But it's not something that I've even seen discussed until somebody random from the media decided we need to ask that question more. Like, press it and make it. I'm going to be a journalist for once, and I'm going to ask about President Trump's ankles. And it just doesn't go anywhere.
So then you widen the lens a little bit, and you look at the reporting of this in the context of what is simultaneously happening on Capitol Hill, which is an investigation by the House Oversight Committee into the presidency of Joe Biden, actual presidential actions that were taken via the auto pen, people who were involved in that who would have known the things that we don't know as the public, the gaslighting. Gosh, like Joe Scarborough talking about this is the best version of Joe Biden I've ever seen. Like, ooh, compliments to Joe Biden there. If all things are relative. But I do think you have to have that initial assessment of the situation. Like, is this a story? Is this something that needs to lead in the news or be the third block of an hour long news story where you talk about it and then you move on? I do think it's important in the context of the last 10 years because we got nothing from the Biden administration and the Biden cringe on Pierre coming out there. Like, all she would talk about is how she can't keep up with Joe Biden, which is an absolute lie, an intent to deceive the American people. So much so that it's like, methinks thou dost protest too much. Like, you're taking this too far. I don't think that the Trump administration is going to be able to come and present to the American people that President Trump isn't 79. In fact, one of the greatest compliments towards Donald Trump is how well he keeps up, does his job, and truly does lead in a way that other people have to keep up at the age of 79. Nobody would be talking about it if this were Ron DeSantis in as the president, if it were J.D. Vance in as the president, if it were Marco Rubio as the president. Nobody would be talking about his energy, because you just kind of expect that of somebody. President Trump is the oldest person to ever be inaugurated president. That is part of this story. And he's going to have the health concerns that go along with it, but they sound like they're pretty run of the mill. I'm in my 70s. These things are happening to me. And it doesn't seem, in my estimation, it doesn't seem to have slowed him down one bit. To the extent that the doctors are like, put some stockings on and put your feet up when you have the opportunity to put your feet up. Like, suggesting to him, maybe you are doing too much. One of the things the doctor said last night, he's like, yeah, he probably needs to move a little bit more. Golf is great. Don't stop the golf. Maybe a little more walking, a little less cart. That's advice that everybody could get right now. That is so not to the level of dementia, which we watched the president. I was talking to somebody here this past weekend about President Trump's, or excuse me, I was talking to someone this weekend about President Biden's gait and the way he walks and the understanding of Parkinson's, how this person knew somebody who has Parkinson's and goes to visit them intermittently. So you can kind of see the developments if you're not there every day. Like it'll, you know, it displays itself in a little bit more each time you go visit this person. But he's like, we're watching this develop right in front of our eyes with their loved ones. And he's like, it's exactly the way President Biden walks. Mm. So we have skepticism about President Biden's potential for dementia, for Parkinson's, for a host of other things that people observe. We're not doctors. We're not medical experts. But none of that stuff was ever even broached, which is why I think that yesterday this did become a story, because I'm with you, Ryan. I'm like, I don't know that in a vacuum you could put out a press release and kind of leave it at that. And if you get asked a question, I guess you respond to it, but move on. I do think it's important for the Trump administration to not run away from these stories, even when they're little, because it gives power to the purpose of transparency.
Yeah. And I think that they have addressed this issue. The only time that this was a question was when Trump was running against Biden. And it was about a year, year and a half where people were trying really hard to say, look, they're both really old. You know, they both are going to have the same issues.
Apples and oranges.
But anybody looking at this from the outside, it was an impossible argument to make, because you could see the difference between these two people clear as day. And so that argument never stuck. They tried it over and over and over. It never really went anywhere. They're going to keep trying it. But unless there's any there, it's not going to go anywhere.
We're going to bump up Ethan's local and sports news segment next, which I wanted to make sure I told you because I hadn't told him that either. So, hey, Ethan.
I'm also learning this.
This just in, because we've got X's and O's in the 2 o'clock hour. So I want to make sure we get Ethan's segment in here. And then, of course, at 1:30 is our Friday next question. Ask us anything that you want to know, and we will answer your questions at the bottom of the hour. Next up, let's get Ethan in here for the latest in local news and sports. Don't go away.
Hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
City News with Ginger Brokaw.
Ginger Brokaw!
Ginger Brokaw! That's funny!
Man, everybody's saying it. Hi, Ethan. Hey. Can you talk like Tom Brokaw?
Brokaw sounds like.
Do you know who Tom Brokaw is?
Yes, he's an author, isn't he? And then didn't he do some TV hosting of a news something?
Yeah. I guess both of those things are probably true. Yeah.
I don't think everyone's like Tom Brokaw.
Oh, he's an author.
Author, right?
Well, that's actually where I first heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, you've just read his work.
No, I know someone that has read his work. I don't read.
I'm only familiar with Bill O'Reilly because I've read his books.
I have read a Bill O'Reilly
TV
book.
Show.
Which one did you read?
Killing Lincoln.
Good.
Super good.
Yeah.
He also, I think, did Killing Jesus.
Yeah. There's like maybe 10 Killing books. Killing Kennedy, Killing the Killers, Killing whatever the witches one is. He's got a lot of them.
Christ. I really enjoy.
He's a really great. He's a great writer.
Local time: Illinois could pay you $1,000 per month to catch invasive black carp. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources could pay fishers up to $1,000 to catch and remove black carp, an invasive species threatening the Mississippi River Basin and its tributaries.
I'd like to see Ryan try.
Already doing that. Glad really? To be paid for it now.
Oh, so you haven't gotten paid yet, though.
Ryan, no. When was the last time you went fishing?
I don't do fishing in the traditional sense.
I don't do fishing.
What do you do?
I don't do fishing.
Define what you do, then.
When you get down in the Mississippi banks, you just get in there and you find a hole for these black carp, and then you sort of dangle a finger outside the hole. Well, they think it's a worm, and they come and bite it, and you grab it with your whole arm. You stick your whole arm
That's not recommended
that's
to
called
anybody.
Noodling, and you do that with catfish.
See, I don't know the name of it.
He doesn't do fish.
That's an actual thing.
You just grow up doing it. And I was doing it because it's an invasive species. We don't eat them.
Are you talking about fishing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just recognized that the Mississippi was overflowing with these invasive carp.
You're such a good person.
What?
Thank you.
That was sarcastic. The IDNR is now offering $100 bounties for each black carp that gets caught on the Keep Cool Call program. And I guess apparently the invasive species is imposing a big threat to local ecosystems by feeding on native freshwater mussels and snails, which I guess are now both nearing being endangered species. So, Ryan, look forward to you continuing to help out the community and the ecosystem. And now you get to get paid for it.
I thought they were just going to give me $1,000 for doing it. I got to call these stupid numbers.
It's like
it's more government.
I thought I was just they knew and sent me the check.
Just, yeah, I'm out here doing it. Somebody throw me a bucket of cash.
Oh boy.
Well, Illinois would be the place to go.
Here's our monthly.
I don't think you're the target demo. I think you're just supposed to pay the taxes.
I'm paying more than that.
Here is our monthly Chicago news, I'll say. Illinois Comptroller Susanna Mendoza said Wednesday she would not be running for a fourth term in 2026 as the state's top fiscal officer, which I guess is opening the door for her to challenge Brandon Johnson in what would be her second bid for Chicago mayor. She said, "I am announcing today that I will not be running for another term as comptroller. It's been my truest and honor and privilege to serve you in what has been the hardest and most fulfilling job I've ever had." So now there's talks that she's going to be running for mayor in Chicago.
What was the former mayor's name?
Lori Lightfoot.
You remember when she was crazy?
She was horrifying.
She was a moderate compared to the current
she
guy.
She kind of looked like... She kinda
Chicago
like,
just repeatedly saying, "Here, hold my beer."
Gave off the nightmare vibes like Pennywise.
At least she's holding up her end of the bargain. You know, when she ran, she said, "I'm going to do three and that's it. Three for me." She ran on that. And she's keeping her word.
Are you okay?
Ryan's not okay. It's no. So obviously clear.
Sugar?
What was her name? Mendoza?
Sugar.
Did you...
Sugar
have you broken the sugar... The sugar
yeah.
diet?
Well,
yeah, he just went to amusement park.
I assumed you broke it on vacation.
I broke it on vacation, but I'm switching to a every weekday, no sugar, no added sugar. Weekends, I can eat added sugar as a little treat to myself.
A little, or does that mean just go ham?
Did you drink any water at the amusement parks, or should you be experiencing another kidney stone?
Uh-oh.
Like I drank water that was in other things like lemonade and Powerade and Icy's.
All right. I will not feel sorry for you if you get another kidney stone then.
Well, I guess he found a way to stay hydrated in some sort of way, I guess. One of St. Louis's most beloved sandwich chains has been placed very high in a USA Today's top 10 poll. Lion's Choice placed number 3 as America's best regional fast food restaurant.
How broad is Lion's Choice? How far do you have to go to get Lion's Choice? Like, what's
so
the
you
region?
Can't get it, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think you could get it in the UK.
I love that we all look at Ryan for the answers to the restaurant.
Well, let me tell you. Actually, I did a lot of food news, so if anybody in the room would know, it would be me.
Known for, obviously, its roast beef sandwiches, Lion's Choice was the only Missouri-based chain to be named in the national poll. So congratulations to Lion's Choice.
Favorite place to get roast beef?
It might be Lion's Choice. Lion's Choice does an interesting thing with their roast beef. They sit right on the fence between perfect and a little too salty. And they're right there. And if they go over the edge, I'm like, I don't know. But their roast beef, if they hit it right,
where do you go,
is
Ethan?
Perfect.
I don't get roast beef very often, but I do like Lion's Choice. I like the sauce as well that comes with it, too.
Yeah. Where do you get your roast beef from, Brad?
Lion's Choice.
I'm an Arby's girl.
I went to Arby's.
Can
today,
I tell you
so.
A real quick story? It's like the meme is, "Sir, this is a Wendy's or is this an Arby's?"
This is a Wendy's.
Wendy's is the meme.
I think so.
So the meme on the internet is like somebody is unloading their life story, and then the person responds, "Sir, this is a Wendy's."
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
We went to after a game in Town and Country. I'm an Illinois girl. We had to drive all the way to Town and Country for a doubleheader. We're driving back, and we stopped. We wanted to find a place to eat. We couldn't find something alternative. We go to a McDonald's. No knocking on McDonald's, but... So we're at the drive-thru, and this drive-thru lady, it was like 10:30 at night. This lady like comes out. She's like, "I gotta tell you, these people these days..." And she just starts like... giving us the business, not to us, but like telling us, And I'm like, this is the opposite of Sir, This Is a Wendy's. I'm like, we're in the meme, but it's reversed. I didn't know what to do. She was complaining about like kids these days, and somebody sent her video and it was showing kids acting a fool and we needed to know about it. We were like...
I had that same thing happen.
It was so weird.
Wednesday morning.
I think she was a nice person, but I was like, we're just here for cheeseburgers.
Yeah. We were in a hotel lobby having our continental breakfast, and the lady who cleans up, we gave her $5 and we were done. And she was like, oh, thank you. And then she just started telling us all about Caitlin Clark. And I mean the WNBA and the whole league. And we're like, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Nothing, like no negative thing about her, but it was just like.
She just randomly brought it up?
Do I have something on me that makes
it wasn't
it
on the
like,
TV.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything about it. She just was like, I need to tell you some things right now that are on my mind.
Thank you for the money, and now I'm going to educate you.
You should have been like, Caitlin Clark is trash.
Yeah, like, I disagree with everything you said.
Yeah, you want to go? Give me my $5 back. One more, Ethan. Before
second half of the season starts tonight for the Cardinals out in Arizona, but if you don't want to travel all the way out to the desert to watch some baseball, there might still be some Savannah Bay Banana tickets.
Are there?
Still? The reseller. It would have to be all reseller at this point.
Well, I have tickets. And I will be there. And I was got them in the lottery. But when they got rained out the first time, I thought, this throws everything for a loop. A lot of people have tickets. The tickets are not overpriced either. I think I paid $40 a ticket. But I wondered if that would make them available for other people. How do you know how people can check if they're still interested in going?
You can check on cardinals.com. I know that's where they are initially selling them. If they're not there, then I imagine, you know, all the reseller options are still out there. Kind of real quick, cool story. Noah Nisnik, one of the most well-known players for the Bananas, is from the area, grew up in the area, went to Southeast Missouri State. So he is one of the pitchers. So I expect for him to be out there tonight. So kind of a cool little connection. I'm sure he'll have a lot of people there. It'll be a fun little hometown
reunion. Forward to going to do this for a long time because the postponement was months from when it was originally scheduled because they have to work with the Cardinals schedule for sure. So I'll be there tonight. Maybe I'll see you there. Savannah Bananas this evening. It's going to be a really cool event. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Next question. Next, your questions for the Annie Fry Show. Throw them in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat there. Pretty soon we're going to have texting. You're going to be able to throw texts our way as well. We'll be right back.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
Well, let's start with the question of the day, and you tell me what you think about the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll question. Do you view pleading the fifth as an admission of guilt? Now, what this question is not asking is, if you plead the fifth, are they guilty? Because obviously, they're pleading the fifth is not... equitable to guilt. It is a mechanism that is part of the Bill of Rights. It's an important one. But when you hear someone pleads the fifth, do you automatically go, oh, they're guilty? What do you think, Ryan?
Man, the vast majority of the time, yes. I'm trying to leave the door open for in some situation where it could happen. You go, well, there's a reason. But gosh, I'm having a tough time finding a situation where if the truth was you didn't do it and you're asked about it, then you could tell the truth and you wouldn't have to plead the fifth. I don't know. It's hard to find some other situation.
Brad?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with Ryan on this one. I know there are certain situations where it's like, okay, if you're testifying in court and your whatever you say can be used as evidence in something else, and you might accidentally say something that you didn't know was illegal or something like that, it's just best to not talk if you don't have to. I get it as a legal strategy, but I still look at it and go,
so yes or no?
You probably do, so yes.
You think you do view it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, specifically in the context of what we're seeing right now with the Biden testimony, but also reflecting not so long ago when there were people pulled in from the Donald Trump side of things, that if you don't trust, and I mean, if you're being investigated, I would imagine you'd have a few trust issues. But if you don't think that the system is fair and balanced, then, I mean, if I'm like, if I can plead the fifth and it's not going to hurt me, I'm doing that.
Yeah, now that you say that, that's actually what General Flynn said that the FBI did to him, is they entrapped him, and that the best advice he ever could have taken was just say nothing.
Yes.
So I forget that that goes both ways.
Do we want to be talking about pleading the fifth in a non-corrupt justice system? You're darn right we do, but we don't. I don't think that we're in that system. Mm-mm. So I'm going to say no, I don't. And I think if you get out there and start spilling your guts, you better have a deal. And I'd be seeking one of those out real mm-hmm. fast, because you're going to be able to get a deal in this instance. If someone's going to spill their guts, they probably already have people who are in negotiations for the Biden stuff. You're going to be able to get yourself a deal, because the first person gets the good deal. Maybe other people after that get something. But you're probably also going to write a book, and you're probably also going to make a lot of money for it if you're telling your story and you're the one who's willing to come out. So as much as I think it does on the surface make you look guilty, if you think a little bit more about it, no, the smart legal thing to do is just shut your mouth. I'll tell you this too, as somebody, I have a conceal and carry license in the state of Illinois, of course, and any legal advisor would tell you, if you are ever in an instance where you are in a position to use lethal force with your weapon, it doesn't matter where you are, the second it happens, you keep your mouth shut. You do not say anything to anybody, because what can be said in an emotional situation right after that? Like, you just don't talk, and they'll tell you it's going to make you feel like you look guilty, but you need to keep your mouth shut. Wait until you have a lawyer present to help you. So I'm a no on this, and I have a feeling I might be in the minority. Next question. Ryan, you got one?
What is the worst month of the year?
February.
That was easy.
Ooh. That, no.
I don't think I would have said February, though.
I don't think I would either.
January, to me, has this kind of post-Christmas lull to it that's just slower paced. And here, honestly, in our region, winter kind of gets to have its flex in January. But come February, I am done with it, and I want springtime, and there's nothing in February that I'm, like, super pumped about, so.
Yeah, you make a good argument.
Thank you.
I was going to say either August or January, but February is a good one. The reason August is because, going back to school, my
sucks.
Kids, my spouse, they hate it. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the month, you're still off. So it's hard to say that all of August is bad.
Yeah, if you had to repeat August over and over and over again, I think there are other ones you wouldn't.
Yeah, you'd take it. So, man, I'm still going to say January.
Brad?
I'm saying January. I've gone back and forth between January and March. And March is saved by spring training.
And basketball.
Yeah,
that's true. Forgot about that until it happens.
And spring.
It gets there eventually, but it's just like you're just perpetually waiting in March.
Now, that first spring day in March, even if it's a lie, it's nice.
But yeah, it's just the bitter cold of January that gets me.
Next question, Brad.
Let's see here. I don't think I've asked this one yet. What amendment would you add to the Constitution if you could just add it and it would be ratified and you knew it would go in?
I would ban gum.
Ban gum?
Yeah, no more chewing gum. Get rid of it.
Gum.
I mean, I might agree with that as long as you could switch over to Hi-Chew entirely.
Is Hi-Chew gum?
No, but it was created as a gum substitute.
Do you just
Korea.
Chew it over and over?
No, you chew it and then you swallow it like candy. But it was
so
created.
It's like a taffy.
It's a taffy. But it was created in Korea to be a substitute for gum.
No, eliminate gum. Make it be gone. Are you Googling what your answer is? That's just cheating.
I would repeal the 19th Amendment.
He just had to Google which amendment
it was. I had to make sure
it
was the right one.
Yeah, obvious evidence in the case for only men to be able to vote. Slow clap for the dudes.
He drug me down with that one too, Ryan.
Oh no, it's just your whole species.
Maybe
see,
I was looking something
see
else
what
up.
You did?
I don't know.
You just said you had to do it. This is why you don't talk immediately after committing a maybe crime. Because you were emotional. You were on that. You had your back on your heels. And you panicked and you're like, I did it! I did all of it!
I don't think
women should vote, and I think it's an amendment, but I'm not 100% sure what it
sure
is.
I want to make sure I say the right number.
I hate that what you're saying is true, and you know what? I do it again!
Yeah, there you go. Yes, please, take away women's rights to vote. Anything else? You good on
that? I just do it just for a little bit. You know, just like a, let's see how this goes.
For fun?
Just for fun.
Brad?
Just to see.
I don't think we need more from him.
I think I would amend the Constitution and not let Ryan vote.
Seems pretty specific.
No,
because he's a woman?
Maybe a balance, yeah. Maybe a balanced budget amendment, I think, would be good if I could just add an amendment to it.
That's not fun.
I know it's not fun.
Not a woman. I heard that.
You sound a little overly emotional about me saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I sound like this when I said it. I'm not a woman.
Since when is a deep voice a disqualifier?
Oh, my Lord.
On this show right now.
Question. What's a belief that you used to hold strongly but changed your mind about? Something that used to be kind of like soapboxy about, and then you moved into your 80s, and you're like, I don't know if that's for me anymore, Brian.
Yeah, I'm a woman, and I'm an old woman is what you're saying.
I used to identify as a man.
I really changed my opinion on gender fluidity. I really, there's a couple things. One of them is I really had to examine my positions on unions. Because there's a big, big difference between private sector unions and public sector unions. And a lot of times in the conversation about that topic, they get lumped together. And they're very different, and the negotiation is very different, and the purpose of them is different.
Publicly funded unions?
Yes.
Thumbs
privately
down.
Funded. Yeah, and unions, it's not like a blanket statement that all one is great and all the other is terrible or anything like that. I'm just saying there's a big difference between those two things. The other one is foreign policy. I am much, much more isolationist than I used to be. And it is strictly, and it's not because I think I've changed. I think the times have changed. And it used to be that I thought we need to export American values as much as possible because American values are good values. But once I've seen what that looks like and how difficult that is to implement by force, I don't know that that's the best move.
Brad?
I used to be a lot more libertarian, kind of like a you do you and I'll do me. And as long as you don't bother me, I won't bother you. But in as I've gotten older, I think that it's more important to use the levers of power of government. I am a big fan of restricting government and lowering its influences down and individual responsibility. But there still needs to be a bigger level of government than what the Libertarian Party advocates for to keep life functional and civilization moving forward. So I've gotten a lot less libertarian.
You guys are both like super political about yours, and mine's not political at all. But mine, the question being, what's a belief you used to hold strongly but changed your mind about? The purpose of competitive youth sports.
What did the purpose used to be for you?
To win.
Oh, okay. Really? I didn't know you were in that category.
Which one? The old one or the new one?
Well, the conversations we've had about that topic, I've only known the non...
The loser?
Only, yeah, the losing Annie. The one who loves losing. Get out there and lose,
kids.
Oh,
man. See, here's the thing. When I talk about a belief you used to hold strongly, I still really like to win. There is a culture rot in youth sports that... It's kind of like public education, where is public education a valuable thing? Of course it is. Are youth sports an important thing? Of course they are. But the system ends up growing so large outside and around the people who those services are supposed to benefit that they become industries that exist to perpetuate themselves. And I wish we were prioritizing children playing for something other than the name on the back of the jersey. Mm-hmm. The culture that exists around select sports is not selective. There is always a team that will take your thousands of dollars, and they'll be called like the Collinsville Superstars or something like that. Like, that's the level. They'll be the Superstars. They'll be the... I'm trying to think of ones that aren't real ones, so I'm not calling anybody on specifically. But these teams that are... These teams that are supposed to be top-tier teams, let's say it's the five-star team or whatever, the platinum team or whatever, there are levels that go underneath that, and kids get accepted and they play.
Yeah.
And the way that it's being sold to these families is that if you do not participate in this system, your child will be left behind. And then the grind... Now, there is an exceptional tier of youth athletes who need to be pushed and challenged in a way that the majority of kids don't need. So I'm not saying that there's no need for this at all, but I'm saying select is, I'll use a Trump word, unselect. It's not selective, and they're willing to take your money. And the worst part about it, and this is where I shifted, they're willing to take childhood away from children for the idea that you're chasing after something that when you do the math and you realize how little money there is in college scholarships for athletes, how little money there is in that, let alone like some sort of pro sports track that you're on, you will not come out ahead investing in chasing that. And the thing that breaks my heart is that there are kids and there are families that are killing themselves over trying to be on the court, trying to be on the field, trying to be in the place, in the gym, training all the time, and they're nine. They're young, and they are not having childhood summers the way they, in my opinion, should be because of this industry that puts pressure on parents to not miss the opportunity for your kid. And it hurts my heart. I am all for super competitive sports and for challenging. I'm for winners and for losers, and you can't have one without the other. But we are crapping away childhoods every summer because of the industry that youth sports has become.
That's true for most kids, but my kid's going to be a pro.
That's exactly what I think. Your kid's good at soccer.
He ain't going to be a pro.
I changed my mind pretty quick, didn't I? Well, and I mean,
you know, there's going to be a backlash. I'm going to predict that you are on the leading edge of this because it is getting a little out of hand. It's to the point now where rec sports almost, I'm not saying they don't exist, but past a certain point, they pretty much don't. You get to a certain age. And so everything is select. And select is very demanding. And you got to pick real early which horse you're going to take, which sport you're going to take. And I'm predicting that there's going to be, maybe not in our generation, but in the next one, a swing away from that.
How many of these children who are in the midst of this right now are going to be like, you know what, I didn't really have summer. Like, when the three of us think about what summer and school off meant, I can hear it in my brain. It sounds like locust. It sounds like being outside. It feels like chasing lightning bugs and putting them in a jar and playing kick the can. And, you know, we didn't have the internet, so we were outside a lot. But what we got to do, like the boredom that would set in and spawn some sort of creativity. Oh my gosh, boredom. My kids have no idea. Because they don't ever have to be bored. It's so sad. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get a few more of these questions in here. If you got a question you want to throw our way, please do so in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. And you can also vote in the poll. Do you view pleading the fifth as an admission of guilt? Yes or no? We'll be right back. Forget all the hate. So we're going through a little next question, Friday Ask Us Anything questions, and I got another one from you for you here from a listener, Russell. Ryan, you first. Have you ever had a humiliating situation while on the air?
Oh my gosh, yes. We said earlier in the show that I used to...
You mean today.
Oh, today.
No, anytime.
Oh, today, no. In the past, we mentioned early in the show that I worked at Joy FM. I one time accidentally gave the wrong number during a telethon.
And it was to what?
And it was to an adult call-in line.
Oh, no.
And I only said it once, but I slipped. But I didn't even realize I had said it. You know,
was
you say
it the difference
phone,
between like 800 and 888 or something like that? Or did you?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something that you wouldn't even notice that you had said it.
Did you call the number to hear it?
No,
yourself?
But somebody called in and said, hey... But we say the number 15,000 times.
Yeah.
And they heard me say it wrong the one time that I had slipped. I changed two numbers, or I did it at 888 instead of 800, something like that. And they called in and said,
Is that why you don't work there anymore?
Yeah. No.
You got to mess up way bigger than that here. Brad?
All of my on-air stuff has been with you guys, and I can't think of anything that's been incredibly humiliating.
You've never messed up, huh?
No, I've messed up, but I can't think
Maybe
of anything.
Maybe we should answer this for each other. You guys can answer it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me have it.
Yeah, it's when you said shart.
I thought it was when she was doing the VIP
That one's good too.
We don't talk about that.
Let's talk about that one more.
No.
We should talk about that one
that
more.
That one never really got talked about.
Were they both in Ruler Foods ads?
No.
No.
The other one was for the Wing Fest.
One was for Midwest Wing Fest. Yeah. And you can be a VIP and go into the VIP tent and show off your VIP-ness.
I said you can feel.
You can feel it. You can feel the VIP-ness.
Stop it!
I just love that both of those that we remember, because there's been other things, but both of those were in ads in the same week. It wasn't even on the show. You were in an ad. You can't do that. You had to stop. Did you make it through that one?
Yes.
Did you?
Because I am a professional.
You made it through the Ruler Foods one.
That was most impressive.
And now you said "shart" right at the beginning of it. You basically were like, "Let's do a Ruler Foods ad," and you turn on your mic. You're like, "Shart."
That's not exactly what happened.
It's pretty close.
I said, "You can shart."
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be shopping smart.
Ah, shop smart, not shart.
Yeah, I kind of put it on Ruler for making those words so complicated.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Shop smart, spend less. Ruler Foods, or if you want to get it taken care of faster. Oh, man.
Midwest Wing Fest needs to embrace that.
We didn't even tell them we did it. Now we did. They're probably considering coming back and advertising with us, and they might have just made up their mind.
Somebody tell
Midwest Wing Fest. I don't know if
Midwest
that closed the deal or ended it.
Right now.
I mean, I don't have anything to add to that.
Brad had none.
Yeah.
Brad's like, well, I've never done anything.
It all aspire.
Really,
I'm over here saying shart and VIP-ness.
Listen, I talked to you guys. I've told some embarrassing stories about myself, but none of those happened on air.
Also, Ryan, vouch for me. None of the embarrassing stories that Brad has told on the air, did we A, know existed before he started telling them, or did we B, pressure him into saying?
No, but I love it when he does it.
The whole time it was happening, Ryan and I are like, you don't have to do this.
Every now and then. This probably happens with each of us, and this probably happens to anybody listening to somebody in your life, that at some point they'll tell a story and you go, who are you? You've never heard this side of them. You didn't know this thing existed.
Like the other day when Brad said that he would go to the mall when he was a teenager and hit on all the girls.
Not all of them.
That's really what you said.
He did say that, but then he said, but I was too fat.
Which is true. I never got any dates.
I tell you what, there was one that not too long ago, I'm not going to out the family member, but it was a person in my family, said that they were in the middle of October one year, they were on a road trip, and they had to go to the bathroom so bad that they pulled over on the side of the road near a pumpkin patch and cut open a pumpkin.
Why?
And I was like, what? How have I never heard this story before?
Is that person listening right now?
I have no idea. And if they are, you should not comment, because then everybody will know it's you. And I saved you that trouble.
Last question. What would you do if you drove by somebody doing that? Keep driving. What's something you're proud of that most people wouldn't know about?
My collection of Dr. Pepper memorabilia in my basement.
Brad?
Man, I don't know. I got nothing. I don't know that there's something that I'm proud of that everyone...
No humiliating stories, but to balance it out, I'm also not secretly proud of myself.
Driving down the middle lane.
Super boring.
Your ability to use pumpkins isn't one thing, is it?
Is it your fourth, Gracie?
Shut up. No, I was going to say my musical ability. I have some musical ability. I'm not going to go pro anytime soon, but I can play a few instruments and sing a little.
Is this you?
Yes.
Speaking of stories you've never heard before. Wow.
This is Whitney, right? Yeah. I sing just like her. No, I don't. Sometimes in the shower, though, it might feel like I do. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, X's and O's with my friends, Matt and Blair Hayes from Home Shield Foundation Repairs. Don't go away.